Good morning and welcome to worship at the River Church. We're glad to be able to join together with as many of you as can tune in to us. And we are celebrating the fact that our God is a good God, a gracious God, and one whose mercies are new every morning. He is a faithful and precious Lord to us. So I'd like to begin with prayer this morning, and then we have a few things we're going to share with you in worship, and then a message, and we're glad to be able to do this, and glad that we have this technology that we can share our worship time in this manner. Let's pray together. Father, as we have joined together on this day, we are grateful to know that you are our Father in heaven, that we are brothers and sisters and all part of one wondrous family that you have created, that you call your church. And today we're going to be thinking about what it means to be church when we're not in the building together, but we are yet together. We are one in spirit. And so we have gathered together in the name of Jesus. And even though we are in our different places, we recognize that your word promises that wherever two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, that you are present there. So in each of our homes, the places where we're listening today, we are recognizing that you are with us and that we are your church as much as ever. And we are here together today to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to open up your Bible to Psalm 57, we're going to focus on that just for a moment, starting with verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. And then at verse 9, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now I invite you to join us in our prayer using the Lord's Prayer as the base, and I'm hoping that you're still working on memorizing that. And Linda will be helping me as we enter into prayer this morning. Please join us. On this day, we come into the presence of our God, praying with our Savior as he taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
We join with Christians around the world as we say,
lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, keep us from speaking when we should not,
from being silent when we should speak.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Keep us from looking at things we should not see,
from listening to things we should not hear.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Help us safely navigate the distractions of the world.
Help us to pay attention to you.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Let's pray together as we prepare to hear God's word this morning. Father in heaven, I just ask that you will be surround Pastor Jim with your strength and power. Protect him as he speaks your words to us today. Father, we ask that as we listen to your word, that we're able to understand and act on it. Father, we just ask your blessing on Pastor Jim as he delivers your message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God's word for us today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and our reading begins at verse 6. This is God's word. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's where we'll end our reading of God's Word this morning. I'm digging way back in my life to a story from almost 40 years ago, and a good place for us to start this morning. I was at home one day when some folks showed up at our house, and I had no idea who they were. They were totally strangers to me. I looked at their license plate on their car, and it said Ontario, Canada. I thought, okay, so where are they from, and what's going on here? And it turned out that they were people who had been members of one of the churches my dad had pastored a long time earlier. And so they pulled up in the driveway. I was actually out in the garage. I was working on changing the oil on my car that day. So I was wearing some kind of grubby clothes and had been crawling under the car. So I wasn't looking too pastorally, I don't think. But they stepped out of the car and they looked at me and said, "Are you Reverend Dykstra?" And I looked down at myself and thought, yeah, I might not look that way. Yes, I am. And that was kind of a surprising thing. They went on then to explain that they had known me when I was a baby, and they had actually done some child care for me at times when I was little, and they were out traveling and just wanted to see how I'd grown up. Well, the reason I tell that story is because one of the things I learned from that is that no matter where I am and no matter what I'm doing, I am always still Reverend Dykstra. And so that was kind of a stark realization for me. But it makes me think, too, that more importantly for us today, no matter where we are and no matter what we are doing, all of you, we're still Christian. And more specifically for this moment, as I think about bringing this message to you today, is this thought that even though we're not at church, no matter where we are and what we are doing, we are still the church. And we always will be. We're the body of Christ. We're the people called and set apart for the will of God. We're people who are sent into the world to make disciples, to make a difference, to be those who will be representatives of Jesus Christ in this world. So even though you're not here in this building this morning, I would say to you, don't forget, you are yet the church. I want us to think a little bit based on what we've been reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, what it means for us to be the church when we're not together as the church and when we're not being associated with the building where we are. Because I have a sense that God can yet use this time and maybe do even greater things in us and through us because we need to overcome this difficulty. And it may change how we act as church today and in the future as well. So let's look at some things in Paul's letter to Timothy. First of all, in verse 6, Paul encourages Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. I want you to realize that to some extent, that's what we do every time we come together as the church on Sunday mornings. We are fanning the flame. We are blowing that wind of the Holy Spirit into the lives of people so that we can all be encouraged to grow in our faith. Some of you probably At some point in life, maybe you're like me at least, I like when we go camping to play with my campfires, and I like to see what happens when I change the way things are lying in the fire. And if you get your sticks kind of far apart, you realize that they can't burn very well. But if you bring them together, then they burn much more rapidly, much hotter. It's a better fire when they get together. And I think back even to like cooking outside. My dad used to cook with charcoal all the time, of course, when we were kids. And I don't do that because I have a nice gas grill, so I don't even worry about that anymore. But in those days of charcoal, you had to mound that stuff together in order for it to get hot. They needed each other, those charcoal briquettes, in order to make a good fire. So in the same way, our faith is encouraged when we meet together. But what happens when we can't? And that's why I'm looking at this letter to Timothy today, because there was a time that Timothy traveled with Paul. He was a disciple of Paul. He became a Christian because of Paul's witness to him. And now Paul has sent him off to Ephesus to pastor the church there. Paul can't go to Ephesus. Timothy can't come back and talk to Paul and say, okay, this is happening, so now what do I do? And I think in contrast to today, where we have telephones, where we can call each other, where we have internet, and I had several meetings this week which were internet meetings on Zoom and other platforms like that, and all those different kinds of things that can be a part of our lives today, Timothy did not have that advantage. So Timothy's out there trying to pastor this church, and he's really entirely all on his own. And so Paul writes to him, fan the flame. What he's saying is, I'm not there to fan the flame for you, Timothy. You need to make work of this yourself. And that's what's true for us in these days as well. We need to grow in our faith, and it's possible to grow in our faith even when we're isolated, but only if we intentionally fan the flame. So do the work. Be reading the Bible. Be praying. Be doing those things which will encourage your own self. Watch TV programs. Do whatever you need to do to be encouraged in your faith and not discouraged only by the things that are happening these days. In verse 7, Paul also prompts Timothy with these words, "The Spirit does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." What I want to say about that is this is not a time for us to back off from being Christians. In a way, it's really a time for us to be sticking our noses more into other people's business than ever before. And don't get me wrong on that. I don't want to be suggesting that we suddenly run around with reckless abandon and just really irritate other people to death. But what we do need to do is be aware of what's going on around us and be able to assist other people in their lives as well. So this is something, it's a time for the church to rise up and to boldly, not dangerously, we want to be doing this in safe ways, to be the hands of Christ. I think about Jesus' own teaching in Matthew 25:40, where he instructed us to be aware of and meet the needs of those whom he called the least of these. There are some people around us who really need us. And I also recall from Acts 2 and then Acts 4:34, from where I'll quote, that among the early church members, there were no needy persons, because everybody very conscientiously watched out for the needs of the others around them. So there are things that we can do. Number one, we can pray, and that's something all of us are able to do. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the community around you. Pray for our country. Pray for so many different people who are in need. Our neighborhoods are not being as deeply affected yet by the COVID virus as some other places are, but we want to pray for protection and we want to pray for blessing. So pray around your neighborhood where you live, and maybe you don't even know all those people. That's too bad, but you can pray for each household around your neighborhood. Take the church directory and pray through that as well as we remember the needs of each of the different persons who are part of the river. Do things like discovering and helping meet the needs of healthcare workers. Like this week, that suggestion was out there. If you've been stockpiling face masks, turn them into some hospital somewhere because they are desperately needing them. Send notes to people who are residents in healthcare facilities. Some of those folks, I know talking even with Catherine and Cheryl this week, their mom is in a care center and she's really confused. Why don't they ever come to see her now? And Cheryl said, we're starting to write her letters. Well, it suggests that even if you don't know people by name to address in some care centers, just letter bomb them with some notes and encouraging things and let the staff choose who needs to see some of those words of encouragement. And you can help with food insecurity, delivering maybe for neighbors who can't or shouldn't be out. And you can go on in your own life listening to the prompts of the Holy Spirit and your own imagination to find safe ways to bless other people. One of the pastors I was meeting with online this week said, most of us have a whole lot more time right now than we normally do. And we want to encourage you to use that time well and to use that time in a way that will honor the Lord and will bless other people. And so find ways in which you can, in a uniquely Christian and uniquely you sort of way, reach out and touch other people. In verse 8, Paul invites Timothy to join with me in suffering for the gospel. We know the context of that is really saying we're being persecuted for our Christian faith. And Paul was facing some of the worst of that, and Timothy would at some times as well, and so would many of the other early Christians, much as we hear of people in other nations today who face great persecution simply because they are followers of Christ. That's not true for us. We're suffering in a different kind of way right now, and hopefully God will continue to protect us from the COVID virus, but the restrictions and everything cause us some difficulties in our lives. So we do have a type of suffering that we are enduring. The question that I would address with this is more, how are we dealing with it? As you listen to the news media, you hear everybody complaining about what the government is doing and overreaching and what they're not doing to meet needs and complaining, complaining, complaining. And you go to the stores and you see people recklessly hoarding all kinds of things, so much so that a lot of the store shelves are empty and the food pantries can't keep up and all these different things are going on. My sense is that Jesus would not have us respond in those kinds of ways to the suffering that we're facing. So what shouldn't we do? Well, we shouldn't add our voices to the cacophony of complaints. But what should we do? We can focus our conversation on things other than COVID-19 and just talk with people about plans for the future, about looking beyond to thinking summer will come and maybe this will all be done and we can move on with life and what are you going to do then? And talk about things that are important to faith and talk about things that are good and encouraging. And if you have resources, you can share those and you can share the means of obtaining resources. Generally, what it comes down to in this is I believe that God is wanting us to be grateful people for what we have. I'll never forget, I was just a child when I first read Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. And she talked about the experience of herself and her sister Betsy as they were in the Ravensbrück prison camp in Germany. And what a horrible, horrible place that was. And one day, Corrie was complaining about the fleas that were so prevalent in their barracks, and Betsy said, "No, no, thank God for the fleas." And I'm thinking as a kid, wow, why would anybody think that? But Betsy went on to explain, "You know, Corrie, that the fleas keep the German officers out of this barracks so that we have opportunity to bless the women around us with the word of God and with love for each other. And we're thankful. When we can look past our suffering and be able to see that God has yet provided us with much and we have so many reasons for thankfulness, it changes how we respond to things. And we want to be those who will show Christ to the world in the way we respond in these days. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is something incredible about our faith. When even in the midst of trying times, we are kingdom-minded and level-headed. Final thought in this passage is to remember what the Lord has done and keeps on doing. In verse 11, we're reminded that death has been destroyed, and that has been replaced for us with life and immortality. It's the good news of the gospel in one very short sentence, and I'm not going to go on with all of that today to explain it, but we know that truth, that Jesus died for us, that we have new life through him. In verse 12, Paul reminds us that Jesus has also promised to guard what we have entrusted to him. And that most certainly points to our souls and that promise of eternal life, that we know this is in God's hands. But it would also talk about all the things, everything that we need to trust God to do in our lives on a daily basis. He cares for us, and he won't allow us to go down without having counted for his purposes here on earth. So I do want to encourage you to pray this week. In fact, if you have not yet joined in on the prayer vigil that Donna's arranged for the day, I encourage you to check with her for a time slot that's still open, or just take some time to pray today. Pray that God will protect us and our communities from this virus. Pray for healthcare workers and food service people and all those others who are on some of the front lines and need to keep on providing those services in spite of the fact that they are in dangerous positions for infection. Pray for leaders of our communities, of our state, of our nation, and of all the countries in the world where this virus has had its impact, that they can make good and wise decisions. And beyond that, pray that God will lead us to be the church without walls these days, that he is passionate for us to become as we find unique ways to minister to others in Christ's name. Strange and good things sometimes happen in the face of crisis. When I was pastoring in Des Moines, one of our sister congregations in a small town near Des Moines named Otley, Iowa, suffered a devastating fire in their church building. And that fire did not destroy the building, but it really made a mess of things, and it would be several months before they could worship again in their own building. And in their little community, the only other building which was large enough to hold that Reformed congregation was the Baptist church. Generally speaking, up to that time, they had not had a very good relationship, sometimes antagonistic, you know, some of that stuff of churches competing with each other and things like that. It had not been a positive relationship between these congregations. But after the fire, a remarkable thing happened. The board members of the Baptist church came to that Reformed church and said to them, "We have made a decision to shift the time of our Sunday morning worship so that there's time for you to also come in on Sunday and use our facilities for worship." And what an incredible gift that became to them. And it really began to change their community and change the church. Suddenly, they began to work cooperatively on vacation Bible schools and other youth programs, and they became good friends in the Lord, all because of a crisis and needing the creativity to deal with this in an entirely different way. And that's what I'm hoping for us in these days, that while we can't come together in this building, that it doesn't stop us from being the church. But that instead, it leads us to new ways to be the church and to share the love of Christ with those around us. I want to close with prayer this morning. We'll pray for some of those things to be happening in our lives, but I also want to share a prayer which came from another congregation in the Hudsonville area, which is an adaptation of Prayers for a Pandemic written by James DeHorn. So let's begin with this in prayer today. Heavenly Father, may those of us who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May those of us who have no real risk factors remember those who are most vulnerable. May those of us who have the luxury of working from home remember those who have to choose between preserving their health or paying their rent. May those of us who have the flexibility to care for our children when their school is closed remember those who have no options with offers of assistance. May those of us who have to cancel our spring break trips remember those who will be forced to work overtime. May those of us who are watching our retirement money dwindle as the market falls remember those who are anxious about next week's check. May those of us who are already bored with being quarantined at home remember those who have no home. As fear and anger grips our country, let us, the followers of Christ, choose to demonstrate the love of our Creator. During this time when physically wrapping our arms around each other is forbidden, let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. We pray this in your most precious name, Jesus. And Lord, we do pray for our communities, for Allegan and for the other towns and villages which our lives represent. We do pray for protection from the virus. But we also would pray that in our communities, these would be days when your church would rise up in new and creative ways to be the blessing to our neighbors that you have called us to be. We pray, Father, that you would bless us with wisdom, with courage to do the right and good things, to not become fearful and panic and do things that we ought not to do, things that may be hurtful to other people because of our own selfishness. Help us, Father, to be the church that you want us to be. We think of some of us who are dealing with some health problems, some who are more vulnerable, some who are facing maybe even some critical needs in these moments. We pray for provision. We pray for those of our congregation, our community, who own businesses that are struggling through this. And we're grateful, Father, to hear that the government is going to help meet some of those needs, but really it is our responsibility, too, to care for each other. Enable us, Lord, to come through this well, to find ways to be able to deal with the circumstances as they are presented, as Jesus would do. Help us to ask that question daily. What would Jesus do with this, and how, Lord, can we best represent him in this world? We pray too, Father, that this would be a time when, as people are fearful, that that fear might enable them to be more open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we have opportunity, let us continue to share the good news of that gospel with those around us. To know, as Paul even celebrated in the passage that we read this morning, this is no cause for shame because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. How blessed we are to have such confident truth presented to our lives. May we believe that with all of our heart and soul and mind. May we live in a way that will bring glory to you. So today, Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the homes that we have. Thank you for the resources that are at hand for us. Thank you for many who helped provide for us. Thank you, God, that you are one who from before the beginning of time knew that this moment would come and had prepared for it. Help us to follow your lead as we walk through this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Go on from here with great grace. Know that God enables us to be the church in the places where we are. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit always be with all of you. Amen.